This is Jim Inkster, and thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support is from Subaru of Baton Rouge, SubaruBR.com. Our guest to begin is Dustin Granger, Democratic candidate for state treasurer. Tomorrow is Election Day. There are three runoff elections for major statewide offices. There are four amendments. And, of course, there are some local races which are still in play in many parts of our state. And we certainly hope turnout will be good, but unfortunately it's hard to be optimistic when only 35.6% of the people voted on October 14th and the governor's election was on the ballot. But Dustin Granger is hoping that his people, his supporters, show up, as I'm sure John Fleming, his opponent, feels the same. In the primary, Fleming received 44% of the votes, Granger 32%, and Scott McKnight, another Republican, received 24%. So you can see that if you're handicapping this race, Dustin Granger would not be the favorite. But for those of us who have talked with him, it's been a while since he's been on our program, and Fleming was on more recently, but he is a bright fellow, small business owner who's been a financial advisor and investment manager for more than 20 years, and they're trying to succeed John Schroeder, who gave up the treasurer's office to run for governor, and it didn't go so well for Schroeder, who finished fourth with 5% of the vote. But there will be a new treasurer, there will be a new attorney general come January 8th, and there will be a new secretary of state. And if you'd like to join the conversation on Talk Louisiana Friday Politics on WWNO and WRKF, 877-217-5757 is your number, 877-217-5757, and emails to talk at talklouisiana.org. Good morning, Dustin Granger.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you for having me back on.
What is your take on whether you can pull off an upset and win this election?
Well, Jim, it's always going to be hard, but we're working to the very last second and running around this state, speaking to people of all stripes, whether it's big city, rural communities, and we're working hard and our message is resonating. You know, we're in a economic crisis in this state, and we can't afford to go back another 4 to 8 years. This is an inflection point. People are losing their homes because of insurance, economic stagnation, and you know, we can't afford to have any more career politicians that don't know what they're doing or don't even want the job in offices like these. We need somebody that knows what they're doing and has a plan.
You have been critical of the leadership of the Democratic Party. You, like all of us, were not pleased with the turnout on Election Day. And by the way, it wasn't great for Republicans either. Their turnout on the Republican side was not good, and the Democratic side wasn't good either, but it was much worse, and particularly turnout in the minority community. Is the leadership the issue, or is it voter apathy? How do you see it?
There's a lot of issues, Jim. Voter apathy has been going on for a long time. People feel like their vote doesn't matter because things just don't change. We seem to just be doubling down on the same bad ideas, and that's what my opponent brings. He wants to go back to Jindal economic policy, and I will call out anybody. You know, the Democratic Party has been the party of working people for the last 100 years. We're the jobs party. We're the party of economic growth. And, you know, it's let down the people of the state, and they deserve better. So I'll stand up to our own party, you know, or anybody. My opponent really just stands up for big donors and big insurance companies that fund his campaigns.
Well, when he was with us, former Congressman Fleming indicated that he had concerns about some of the people doing business with the state. He obviously wants to examine the political leanings of people before embracing them as people who would be involved in one of the big entities in state government, the treasurer's office. How do you see that?
We've got to get this D.C. politics out of our money, by banning certain investments that could give us opportunity and give us a good return. You know, we should always invest in every option that can give us the best return. It seems that his priorities are limiting competition, which we can't afford to have in Louisiana anymore. If you if young people have any kind of career path other than a few different industries, they have to leave the state. So we shouldn't be limiting any competition. We should be all about bringing in new high-paying jobs, not doing the bidding for our big donors.
877-217-5757 is your Talk Louisiana number for Friday Politics on WRKF Baton Rouge and WWNO New Orleans. Dustin Granger is a Democrat, and in Louisiana now, Democrats make up a majority, black Democrats make up a majority of the party, and I notice in one of your presentations, you say, since statehood, black Louisianians have built up the arts, culture, food, and economic opportunities in our state. History has shown that Louisiana has never returned the investment back to the black community. And quality of life statistics show how the community has been left behind due to a lack of adequate state investment to build stronger communities. You are saying that you want people who have been disenfranchised in the past to get their fair share of the American and Louisiana dream, but how is that done? Is that easier said than done?
It is easier said than done, but it has to start sometime. The statistics that you mentioned, it's no surprise that black Louisianans make up the majority of poverty in our state and low incomes, but this affects everybody. And the policies that I'm for, helping working people, you know, ending the constant giveaways at the top. We always seem to cut investments in health, education, access, infrastructure. These are the things that we all need to grow. And, you know, the extreme people in our government use culture war issues. They use race dog whistles and scapegoating of the poor to divide us, to divide working people as a distraction so they can pick all of our pockets. They raise sales taxes on working people. This hurts everybody, and we have to start somewhere and fix this.
Well, your campaign, of course, is often in Louisiana when it's a Democrat versus a Republican, especially one who is well known as Congressman Fleming is in some parts. He of course, was elected to the U.S. House a few times before Mike Johnson succeeded him. And then he ran a race for the United States Senate, and he has a war chest and is using that to present his message, and his message is that you're bad news. And Robin Dow, our producer, has pulled up what John Fleming is saying about our guest, Dustin Granger. Robin, can we go to the tape, and then we'll get Dustin's response.
Paid for by the Fleming campaign.
When it comes to protecting our money, we have a clear choice in the election for treasurer. A liberal left-wing Democrat versus conservative Republican John Fleming. The Democrat, a strong supporter of Bidenomics.
Big spending.
High taxing.
Constant borrowing.
And more inflation.
He's just bad for Louisiana.
And even worse for our taxpayers. John Fleming is the clear conservative choice for treasurer. John Fleming, veteran United States Navy officer, a family medical
doctor. All right, there we go. We get the idea. He says you're bad news, Dustin.
Hey, that's a pretty scary ad. At least I want the job. He was caught on hidden camera at the beginning of the year saying that he was going to run for a statewide office. At the time, I think it was lieutenant governor. He just switched to this last second because he wanted to build up his name recognition to run again for U.S. Senate. He just wants to get to D.C. where he belongs, and he has a home, which was admitted in one of our debates. He has no experience, too. I'm somebody that has been a financial advisor, certified financial planner. I understand how to manage money, grow an economy. I understand what's wrong with our own economy. We need somebody that knows what's going on, and I'm independent. You know, working people were funding my campaign, small donations. He's taken over $1 million, $1.5 million from big pharma, big insurance. Now, how is somebody like him, who doesn't really know much about economics or doesn't even want the job, going to try to take on these big issues that we have in Louisiana?
Well, we have had treasurers who have grown with a job who probably weren't as in the know as you are about, quote, economics. John Kennedy, I thought he was a good treasurer, and I thought Mary Landrieu was a good treasurer. And, of course, she had her sociology degree from LSU, got elected to the Louisiana House, and then after 8 years went straight to the treasurer's office. So sometimes people do well, even though they're not, quote, in the know. But You have that going for you, that you do have a background in the industry that does a lot of the bean counting. So James and Metairie, you're first up with Dustin Granger. Good morning, James.
Well, good morning to you, Jim. Good morning, Mr. Granger. I heard an interview earlier in the week with John Fleming, conservative talk show host. He said about you, quote, and this is a quote, "He's a left-wing nut job." Then he said that you inherited a business that your daddy built, or that your father built. Well, isn't that nice? John Fleming worked for the ultimate con man. He was indicted in four locations.
All right, he's talking about Fleming's association as deputy chief of staff to Donald Trump. We're about to go to a break, but James gave you some red meat, and we'll let you respond, and we'll find out if you're a left-wing nut. But my guess is I think I know the answer is going to be no, but we'll get Dustin to say what he thinks about this when we return after this message. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to Talk Louisiana on WWNO New Orleans and WRKF Baton Rouge Friday Politics, and we're visiting with Dustin Granger. He's in a runoff with John Fleming for the Office of State Treasurer. Tomorrow's Election Day. We encourage everybody who didn't do early voting to get out and vote tomorrow. And also, there are two other statewide offices, important ones in Louisiana, in the Secretary of State's office. Someone will be the successor to Kyle Ardoin. It'll either be Nancy Landry or Gwen Collins Greenup. And the Attorney General's office. Someone will succeed Governor-elect Jeff Landry in that position, and it'll either be Liz Merle or Lindsey Cheek. But Dustin Granger versus John Fleming, and before we hit the break, James and Metairie said that Mr. Fleming was on another show and referred to our guest is, I think, a left-wing nut job. Now, your thoughts about his characterization of you?
Well, I guess if I am, most of the people in Louisiana are too, because all of my policy positions are extremely popular. Ending those giveaways at the top, you know, not having corporate lobby control of our government and big insurance. He's said publicly that he's for trickle-down economics. Like, these are unpopular positions, and if we want to talk about extreme, at least I know who the president is right now. He won't even admit it. He voted against Hurricane Sandy funding. I mean, literally, who does that? Putting at risk our own aid over here. Voted against coastal restoration to Louisiana, $36 million. He was the only representative in Louisiana. Jeff Landry voted for it. He just goes on, and, you know, there's so many extremes that he likened affordable health care to slavery. This is the kind of guy that is really extreme, and our government has moved more extreme here recently. We need somebody, because I believe in bipartisanship.
All right, Jim and Walker. Yep. Jim and Walker, you're on with Dustin Granger. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Granger, I look forward to voting for you again on Saturday. I voted for you, General.
Thank you, Jim.
The silly allegations about inflation, I'm really sorry, but, you know, the Democrats have actually brought down inflation considerably since Joe Biden has been in office. And as a Republican congressman pointed out on the floor of the U.S. Congress yesterday, what exactly have Republicans done?
All right. Roy Fletcher, who's, by the way, handling Fleming's campaign, was with us yesterday. And he says all politics now are national. And of course, they're hitting you with Bidenomics. And there are some economic indicators that are very good. We have high employment, highest we've ever had. We have incredible growth in the economy. We do have inflation. And we do have some people who are predicting a recession even now. But what does the Louisiana treasurer have to do with what is happening with the national economy, Dustin?
Well, it doesn't. You said it. He's just trying to tie me to the current president because he's unpopular in Louisiana. And the point is he has no policy. A lot of the other extreme Republicans in our government have no economic policy. Trickle-down economics is all they have, and that's not even a real economic policy. All it is just anything's wrong in the economy, they say, huh, where can we cut more taxes at the very top? Can we have more giveaways to insurance companies as the answer? More regulation cuts to insurance companies as the answer? And every time that happens, that waters down our investment in our communities. It waters down our rights to be made whole for insurance. And that's the answer, putting these corporations over working people. And it's as simple as that. It's not Democrat or Republican. It's what side are you on? Are you on the side of working people, or mm-hmm. are you on the side of the big corporate donors?
Well, if Fleming wins, he's a native of Meridian, Mississippi. He will be the second Mississippi native to represent Louisiana statewide currently. The other is John Neely Kennedy, who is from Centerville, Mississippi. But Dustin is a Sulphur High School graduate and Louisiana State University. Were you born in our state, Dustin?
Sure was. Born and raised in Lake Charles in Sulphur. I'm in Lake Charles right now.
There we go. Mike in Baton Rouge. Mike, you're on Talk Louisiana with Dustin Granger.
Good morning. I've already voted for you, Mr. Granger, but I had a question. You brought up insurance a couple of times. My insurance on one vehicle went from $1,200 to $2,000 a year. Can the treasurer do anything about that?
Thank you, Mike.
What about insurance costs?
Yeah, so the treasurer, again, it doesn't have direct control over the insurance. But the treasurer in the past has typically been used as a platform to push good economic policy and to hold other elected officials accountable. And as in the Constitution, I am the economic fiduciary for the people. So I don't work for the governor. I don't work for the legislature. I work directly for the people and make sure our finances are being used for us. And anything that relates to us economically that we have a problem, I will be loud and use this position to go head to head with people if they're looking at making the wrong decisions, because we have to look at better solutions than just giving insurance companies more money and cutting, getting rid of our rights to be made whole. There has to be other solutions. I know of a few, and I will push those.
You say we should embrace the technologies of the future and invest in a Louisiana energy revolution. Now, once again, I'm all for technology, which I think is very important in your position. But what do you mean by this statement?
Well, there's lots of changes going. You know, energy markets have been changing now for decades. And we've been losing fossil fuel jobs in Louisiana for decades steadily, even as production has increased. But energy markets are starting to change much faster now. I know it's hard for a lot of people to think about or imagine, but there's been huge strides. And more importantly, you know, governments like are with the Inflation Reduction Act, with billions of dollars investments in you know, wind and solar, this is a chance where we can really capture billions of dollars that we can bring into our economy that can bring in new high-paying jobs. So we need to welcome it and not really fight tooth and nail against it like a lot of our current establishment Republicans are fighting tooth and nail. And I think it's because, you know, they get a lot of their funding for, you know, big corporations, and, you know, they want to limit competition. But we need to make sure that we put jobs first in this state. Mm-hmm. And if there's opportunity to bring a new one, we need to bring it in.
Jake and Amit, please be brief. Jake, you're on with Dustin Granger.
Good morning. The average mortgage in 2020 when Biden took office was $1,000 a month. Now it's $2,000 a month. Could you explain that, Dustin Granger?
All right. I don't think it's gone up double, but it has gone up, as most other things have. And by the way, there's always inflation. I remember when Bill Cassidy was denouncing Obamacare, he was talking about how it was going to be up, up, and away as far as the cost. Well, the cost the year before for health care went up 17% the year before Obamacare. But what about mortgages going up and the treasurer and the president being involved in that?
Yeah, a lot of these are global issues from COVID. You know, inflation has skyrocketed around the entire world, so it's not just us. So Biden didn't do all that. It's you know, COVID shutdown and the crisis that followed has skyrocketed inflation, and it has been coming down. And I will point out that inflation—we have the lowest inflation of all the global major economies, and we have the highest economic growth out of all the major economies. So I think we're handling it well with this global problem that we've had the last few years. And a lot of the mortgage costs too now, or the cost of buying a home, is because of insurance in our state. You know, we're just we need real solutions to bring insurance down, because now, you know, it's costing people rent, it's costing people their homes possibly.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll spend a few more minutes with Dustin Granger, and then the veteran political commentator, columnist for The Advocate and Picayune, Quinn Hillier, after this. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana Friday Politics on WRKF 89.3 Baton Rouge and WWNO 89.9 New Orleans. If you'd like to get in, 877-217-5757. Robin Dow is producing, and in a moment we'll hear from Quinn Hillier, the veteran political commentator. His columns now appear regularly in The Advocate and The Picayune, and he always has some interesting insights from a conservative vantage point. Dustin Granger is with us for a few more moments, the candidate for treasurer in a runoff. Tomorrow's election day, he's going against John Fleming, and we've got time for a call or two, but please be concise. Phil in Jefferson. Phil, you're on with Dustin. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yes, the question came up about jobs. Well, our sons work in the film industry, and they live in New Orleans, and they have good income, health care, I mean health plans and pension plans, and they don't have to leave the state to work in their profession. The film tax credit is one of the best programs Louisiana ever made.
All right, and there is some conjecture about whether that is worth the investment. Dustin, do you have an opinion on that?
Not really. I haven't looked too much into it, but the way I look at it is, if you're creating more value, you know, with the credit and bringing in a lot of new jobs and bringing in diversification to our economy, then yeah, those credits are, you know, good. But sometimes we give away too much whenever companies would be here anyway, like ITEF. I mean, giving away billions of dollars when they literally use our land, air, and water. And, you know, we loosen the regulations, and they don't pay property taxes that go into pay for schools and teachers and stuff in our areas. So that's we need to be smarter about how we use tax incentives.
All right. Final call.
And we should use it to diversify.
Final caller for Dustin Granger, Patrick in Baton Rouge. Patrick, please be brief.
Yeah, you keep complaining about high insurance costs. What about the trial lawyers and the frivolous lawsuits that drive up our insurance?
What are your thoughts about trial lawyers contributing to this?
Well, I have experience over here with Hurricane Laura, which literally just destroyed our city. Buildings downtown, a couple blocks from my house, were toppled over. And look, we had an insurance crisis that really started over here. And I know people all around this entire city that were being dragged around, not being made whole, half paid, and the only way that they were able to get through it was by hiring an attorney to represent them. So we definitely need them, and you know, to protect us, because you know, we don't have many consumer protections in this state, and you know, insurance companies can raise all they want, and then whenever a hurricane hits, a lot of them leave or don't even pay us. So we need somebody to look out for us.
All right. Thank you, Dustin Granger. Best of luck to you. And we're joined. Thank you, sir. And we're joined now by Quinn Hillier, who, as I mentioned, has worked not only in Louisiana, but also in the journalistic endeavors, contributing editor, National Review, senior editor, American Spectator. And he started his career in politics on the inside, 5 years press secretary for Bob Livingston. And he is a New Orleanian now living in Mobile. And your number is 877-217-5757. This is the 17th of November, and this was the day in which we were going to have this budget showdown, and perhaps the government would shut down. But Speaker Mike Johnson worked out a deal that got more Democratic than Republican support, but it was a coalition that enabled things to keep going, at least for a while. And most people are satisfied with it, but of course, Johnson faces the same peril that Kevin McCarthy did when he cut a deal with Democrats. But in the early going, I'd say Mike Johnson, the pride of Captain Shreve High School in Shreveport, Benton, Louisiana native, he's getting good reviews. Quinn, your thoughts about Speaker Johnson?
Well, a whole bunch of mixed thoughts. He was right to do this two-tiered approach, breaking the spending package into two smaller packages, although each package is still too big, and he got it through. So that's a feather in his cap, and he did the right thing, and so good for him. He did not do the right thing earlier in the week when he endorsed President Trump, and I'm saying this not because I dislike Trump, which I do, but because as the new Speaker of the House, he has both party responsibilities and institutional responsibilities, and he should not be endorsing anyone for president at this point when there's still a very fiercely contested primary. Speaker of the House, especially a new one, especially one who got there by sort of strange ways, who hadn't really come up through the ranks like like most speakers of the House would have done. The speaker owes it to his party to represent the whole party and not to take sides. He also owes it to the institution to protect the institution, and the institution was violated on January 6th at the instigation of Donald Trump. He should therefore not be endorsing the person who instigated an assault on the U.S. Capitol. So, again, very mixed feelings about what he's been doing so far, but, you know, he's still getting his feet wet.
Back in 2015, he wrote disparagingly of Donald Trump when Trump was a prospective president, but then when Donald Trump got elected, Mike Johnson was all in. He's been in for a long time. He's a bright man. Some would say far brighter than the former president. Why do you think he's doing this?
Well, he is, number one, playing to his home state, home district constituency, who are very much in favor of Donald Trump. Number two, he's probably feeling that he owes Trump because, you know, he sort of sucked up to Trump. He served as a lawyer for Trump, and in return, Trump helped pave the way, in effect, for him to become Speaker. The position that he took, the legal position on behalf of Trump, in at least one case, the legal position that he actually led, is sheer absolute nonsense, and he has to know that it's nonsense, but he did it anyway, which again gives me pause.
Do you think he'll survive long term?
I don't know. I mean, even as the choice of the very solidly conservative, if not radical, Freedom Caucus, first speaker 3 weeks later, the first time that they had to vote on something serious that he came up with, which is this two-step solution to keeping the government afloat, the entire Freedom Caucus voted as a block against him. While they didn't do the crazy thing of then trying to take him down as speaker right away, the fact that they wouldn't go along with him on his first sort of procedural initiative is not a good sign.
And there's all kinds of friction in the Republican delegation in the U.S. House. Kevin McCarthy, the former speaker, was accused of elbowing a colleague in the back this week. What do you make of this?
Well, that's Kevin McCarthy being Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy is not a nice person. He's done this sort of thing before. Adam Kinzinger, former Republican congressman, wrote in his book that McCarthy shoulder checked him on two different occasions. He's, of course, come close to having blows on the House floor with Matt Gaetz, and again, come close to having blows in a Republican conference meeting with Matt Gaetz, congressman from the Florida Panhandle. Now, I think a lot of people would want to take out Matt Gaetz in a fist fight, but still, that's not how you're supposed to act in the House itself. McCarthy has also repeatedly stabbed Louisiana's own Steve Scalise in the back, and even celebrated when Scalise was not able to get the votes to be speaker and had a sort of a champagne party on the outgoing speaker's balcony, along, by the way, with Garrett Graves of Louisiana, who's a terrible backstabber. So anyway, what do I make of it? I make of Kevin McCarthy being Kevin McCarthy, which is not being a very nice person.
And then there's Mark Wayne Mullen on the other side of the House in the Senate, a former congressman, by the way. He's making some news, too.
Yeah, and this was, again, absurd. There was a union chief, I think it was Teamsters, but I'm not sure, who had...
Sean O'Brien.
Okay, who had basically challenged Senator Mullins to a fight. In effect, he said, I'll meet him anytime, anywhere, you know, basically I'll take him down, talking like a tough guy. And to that sort of thing, I actually think if somebody challenges you and you do it in an appropriate way, it should not be illegal to have a to call them out on it and to have a fist fight. It should not be assault. Sometimes there are exceptions to rules where it says you're not allowed to throw a punch. But there's a difference between saying, okay, dude, you want to be tough. Let's finish this hearing. I'll go meet you in the parking lot. You don't get to have any of your thugs around you. One-on-one, we go at it for 3 or 4 minutes and see who comes out on top. That would be maybe acceptable.
Okay, well, hold that thought. We'll pick up with this with Quinn Hillier right after this timeout on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to Talk Louisiana Friday Politics, WWNO New Orleans, WRKF Baton Rouge, and your number if you'd like to get in under the wire. Our last quarter hour is 877-217-5757. We're pleased, as always, to hear a voice from the right, but I think a sane voice from the right in Quinn Hillier, who is, of course, if you've heard this program over the last several years, not been a real fan at all from the start of Donald Trump, going back to when he announced his campaign in Quinn's place of residence, Mobile, Alabama, Ladd People's Stadium. And the Donald did well. He won the election in 2016, but he lost in 2020, and we're now headed for 2024. And right now, if you look at the tote board in Las Vegas, he's the favorite. 877-217-5757. But Quinn was talking about one Mark Wayne Mullen, former MMA fighter, now a senator from Oklahoma. He was a 10-year congressperson in the U.S. House. He's the only member of the Senate without a bachelor's degree, by the way. The other 99 members all have bachelor's degrees, but he does pack a wallop. He's only about 5'6", and this guy from the Teamsters, the president, Sean O'Brien, has been ridiculing Senator Mullen, and Mullen had his fill of it, and the two who've tangled before in committee hearings. This time, it almost got out of control. Here's how it sounded.
You want to run your mouth? We can be two consenting adults. We can finish it here.
Okay, that's fine. Perfect.
You want to do it now?
I'd love to do it right now.
Well, stand your butt up then.
You stand your butt up.
Oh, hold on. Oh, stop it.
Is that your solution?
Every poll. No, no, sit down.
Sit down.
Okay. You know, you're a United States Senator. Sit down.
Active.
Oh, okay.
Sit down, please.
But Mullen went to the cameras and said, you know what? He's not done with this. Take a look at what he said later.
Keep in mind, too, this isn't anything new. Andrew Jackson challenged nine people to a duel when he was president, and he also knocked one guy out at a White House dinner. There's been canings
before. All right, canings in the House. He's comparing himself to the 7th United States President, Andrew Jackson, who won the Battle of New Orleans, Quinn.
As I said, if he wanted to go mano-a-mano with this union leader afterwards in a parking lot, that might be okay. This is a U.S. Senate hearing. This is in the U.S. Capitol building. It represents the entire United States of America. It is civically sacred ground. To suggest that in the Capitol, in an official Senate hearing, is the time to have a throwdown is outlandish and inexcusable. And so, even though I'd spent the previous time saying, yeah, there are times when it's okay, times and places when it's okay to, you know, to have to set up a 4-minute mano-a-mano fist fight, that's one thing. You don't do it in the U.S. Capitol building, and he should be censured for suggesting it.
David in Atlanta. David, you're on with Quinn Hillier. Hello, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Hilliard, clearly, as a former professional tax preparer, I can tell you, Clarence Thomas clearly committed income tax
fraud. All right,
fraud.
Well, that's a topic, I think, for another day. But the Supreme Court, David, as you know, has imposed its own ethics standards, but there's really no enforcement mechanism. Your thoughts about this move? Is it a good move, even though it may appear to be window dressing, Quinn?
It's not window dressing. It is a very good move. It is one that I had advocated. It helps clarify what is and isn't allowed by Supreme Court justices. It sets a standard. It is good to have a standard in writing. There are good reasons which even liberal law professors writing for the liberal Brookings Institution have outlined about why it's really tough to have a specific enforcement mechanism other than the enforcement mechanism in the Constitution, which is that judges and Supreme Court justices are subject to impeachment and removal. That is as it should be. Anything else, you run into all sorts of problems, which it would take way too long to explain in a quick radio show.
All right, Stuart in Baton Rouge. Stuart downtown, and BR, you're on with Quinn Hillier.
Thank you, Jim. Mr. Hilliard, audience, good morning. Mr. Hilliard, the incoming Louisiana governor desires to reverse some environmental protective measures that have been instituted by Governor Edwards. What are your thoughts on this? In closing, why don't we stick one of these exhaust pipes out of Exxon or Dial down his throat and see if he can survive it?
All right. Well, what about relaxing some environmental standards that Governor Edwards has proposed and enacted? By the way, the guy who was standing at the side of Jeff Landry when he was announcing his DEQ secretary was Tim Hardy, who was Buddy Romer's DEQ secretary back when they had an environmental scorecard. But your thoughts about where we're going with Governor Landry on this issue?
I have not, I've got to acknowledge I haven't paid close attention to that particular part of what Governor Landry is doing. Buddy Romer was known as, you know, fairly progressive on environmental stuff, certainly not super progressive, but fairly interested in protecting the environment. And if Landry has his guy, that's not necessarily a bad sign for the environment. But I don't know each individual rule that he's trying to undo, so I won't go any further.
All right. 877-217-5757 in our remaining time with Quinn Hillier. Patricia in Baton Rouge. Hello, Patricia. You're on the air.
Hey, there's been a lot of commentary about the Congressional Fight Club, but
To me, it would be more important to know what exactly was the Senate hearing about, where the guy was asking something of the Teamsters head. Thanks.
All right. That's Bernie Sanders' committee and the Labor Committee. And that guy, Sean O'Brien, comes there, as you would imagine, being head of a major union. He comes there often. So they talk about issues that are near and dear to the workers of America. So, yeah, they do important work, but it's overshadowed by the Fight Club, as you called it. Now, Quinn, one thing about it, the next time Mr. O'Brien appears at that committee, I have a feeling that the whole world will be watching.
I would assume the whole world would be watching, and I would hope that everybody would behave and conduct a hearing like a hearing, and if they want to fight, go outside, off the Capitol grounds, and fight afterwards.
Now, I thought Bernie.
How about acting like adults?
All right, but Bernie did a nice job. I thought he got it under control to the point where the two didn't actually get into a fracas right there. They didn't have their Will Smith, Chris Rock moment. Carol in Jefferson, please be brief. Carol, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Yes, just set the record straight. Mullen started threatening this guy, and everything he said was in response to that. It should have been cut off then, but no, this man was not. He's basically saying that his opinion will not be threatened by physical violence. And he was not very good at expressing that, but that's what he was responding to.
All right, you're talking about Sean O'Brien. Well,
actually, Sean O'Brien had, before the hearing, issued a challenge to fight, and that's, you know, and of course the bad blood goes back beyond that, but Mullins was responding to that.
Now, could Rush, go ahead.
I want to go back to this thing with, we talked about earlier, where I was complaining about Kevin McCarthy and how he treated Steve Scalise, and I mentioned that Baton Rouge's own Republican congressman had also been part of that. It's inexcusable. It's inexcusable for a fellow Republican congressman in the same state to do what was done to Steve Scalise. And I just think people need to talk about it and
all right,
think
well,
about.
Well, Graves could end up getting nailed. He could end up getting nailed in congressional redistricting, and so that could be. And of course, Jeff Landry is not feeling warm and fuzzy about Garrett Graves, who supported Stephen Wagasback in the governor's election. So we'll see. But Graves may have played the wrong cards, and sometimes that's the way it works in politics.
Graves did play the wrong cards, and he did it for no good reason. And he was literally berating and demeaning fellow members who had stuck with Steve Scalise. That's just wrong.
Well, while Congressman Graves apparently has some explaining to do, Todd Graves, also from Baton Rouge, according to Bloomberg, is the richest person in Louisiana, Quinn, the founder of Raisin Cane's, 1996, so he's only been in business now for 27 years. He's worth $7.6 billion, the 307th wealthiest person in the world. He has supplanted Gail Benson as the richest person in Louisiana. And he is doing very well. He has more money than Mark Cuban. he's a relatively young guy. So this Graves, a graduate of LSU, like Mike Johnson, he's doing really, really well, Quinn.
He is, and I just ate at Raising Cane's literally for the first time a couple of weeks ago. I can't believe it's the first time I've eaten there, but they do good work, and my hat's off to them for following his dream and making it a success.
Now has a location in Times Square, but Todd Graves, my friend Steve Myers is running for House. He's in a runoff tomorrow with Barbara Freiberg. Says in this country today, you're not rich unless you have your unit, 10 million. Well, Todd Graves has 760 units. We'll be back. Stay tuned.